Have you ever witnessed something that you couldn't explain? What about an entire house appearing and then disappearing right before your very eyes? Could this be proof of a time slip? Today, we test the believability of the Ruffham Mirage.
Welcome to Believe in the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right, we tell you.
Yeah, this we're so good at this intro, I can start playing with the inflections now.
I know, it's only taken 2 years. It's nice though, because if you've never listened before, you know what to expect. We're going to talk about unbelievable stuff, talk about it, we're going to tell you whether or not we find it believable. And we have a rating scale at the end where we go from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable. So this is a fun topic. If you are our patron, you'll hear the quiz. We did a quiz on this episode in our Patreon, so you can go check that out.
Yeah, fun fact. It took us a good 5 minutes to figure out how to say the name of this place.
Yes, Ruffham. Ruffham. I thought it was Ruham, I'll be honest.
Ruham sounds right to me.
Ruffham.
I'm going to rough them up.
Takes place in the UK.
Whereabouts in the UK?
Supposedly between Ruffham and Bradfield St. George.
Those are two small cities for me to know what they are.
This is a country. This is a country area.
What are the two big cities it's between?
It's probably not near any big cities.
Between any big cities?
Let me see. It's Suffolk, because it's known as the Vanishing Suffolk House.
Okay. All right.
So it's northeast of London. It's Colchester. It's right above Colchester.
Cool.
I mean, you know what? Let's just go all the way in. Let me put Ruffham in. Just put Ruffham. God, how many Ruffhams are there? Jesus.
This house has to go between all the Ruffhams.
I see Barry St. Edmunds. You know what I mean? Yeah. St. Burry. There's a lot of Barrys. Barrys, Currys, and Ruffham.
Ruffham.
Like, I don't know the U.S. geography. You can't expect me to know the U.K.'s.
I guess that's fair.
So what does this vanishing house look like? And yes, it is the house that vanishes. It's not a piece of the house. It is the entire house.
It's not the windows, not the doors.
Not the windows, not the doors, not particular rooms on different weeks and months. No.
No.
The house. Like, you see a house, you're like, well, that's strange. Although, and I'll get to this in the discussion. Although, I guess there's a feeling attached to it. I'll save it for later. That's a tease.
Okay.
That's a tease right there. But you see this house, you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then you look at it, and then it's gone. The house.
Yeah.
Just gonzo. So it is a, supposedly, it's a very nice red brick manor. It's got iron gates, and it has a large overflowing garden. Just, it's beautiful. It is considered beautiful. And it's open by itself in the countryside. So basically, you're, like I said, you're walking, you see this house, you're like, that's weird. You get a rush of like cool air. There's like a chill to it. And then this house vanishes and just an empty field is left where it stood.
A whoosh of cool air.
A whoosh. Well, sometimes a whooshing sound, sometimes cool air. Lots of different
and
things
happen. And you don't get chills though. You don't get them.
You get chills. You don't get lightheaded.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Which I found out
in the quiz.
About 30 minutes ago.
Yes. So I got historical encounters. There's like the main encounters. Like most articles have these encounters. And then we're going to look at some of the research behind it. And then we're going to look at some theories as to what is happening. There's no Reddit. Let me preface
there's no
this.
Reddit?
There's no Reddit. There's what? No. There's
no one in Ruffham got on Reddit?
Nope. Right. It sounds like a brutal place, Ruffham Reddit.
Oh, God. That's about boxing.
It's like we're at a super Weenie Hut Jr. Reddit over here. But let's get into these historical encounters of the Ruffham Mirage in chronological order. So the first sighting took place in the year 1860.
All right, that's a good amount of time ago.
Yeah, it's quite a while ago. A man that was local to the area named Robert Palfrey was walking down this nice country road when out of nowhere on this summer day, he got a very unusual chill.
If I may, I'm going to do a reenactment. All right, here we go, walking along the street. Oh, what's that chill coming off the left?
Oh, I'll be the...
Oh, the porch has become quite chilly.
Well, they're not on a porch. They're walking.
No, the port is like the left side on a boat.
I thought you said the porch. No, they're also not on a boat. They are very much on the ground. I feel like you're giving people a...
It's a good reenactment, I think.
But it's more chilling than just a cool breeze. It's almost freezing. Frigid. If you want to take it a step.
I guess. I'm so cold. My hands are nearly gone.
So he looks around to see if the trees are blowing, see what's happening, where this, like, not making sense of it, but where this cool air is coming from. And he was shocked to discover this house that he had never seen before, neither before this day, or essentially before this very moment.
If I may. Frogs and trumpets! I've never seen that house before! I've never seen it before this very day!
He discovered a large red brick Georgian style, whatever that is, shout out Georgie, house with gardens in full bloom and iron gates. He was amazed and in disbelief to discover this house. However, almost as quickly as he noticed its presence, he was shocked to watch it dematerialize right before his eyes.
That's trippy.
Is that, what would he say?
Oh, he would say, oh, wow, what a beautiful house. I've never seen such a fixture. Iron gates and an overflowing garden. Oh, it's dematerializing. I'm still so cold. It's gone.
Before he knew it, he was back to standing in an empty field with no house nearby. But the summer warmth did come back.
What's his name again?
His name is Robert Palfrey.
We just got to experience that through Robert Palfrey's vision.
I don't want to say
you're welcome for that.
I don't want to say it was like a psychic medium where you like channeled him for a few minutes.
I did. But I did a little bit.
I'm getting chills actually over here. My neck hairs are standing up.
You're gonna like the music I put behind that too.
Yeah, wait. There's like four more stories.
I'm not gonna do it every time.
I'm not saying we need to channel everybody, but I do. I feel like
Robert Palfrey needed it though.
Yeah, this is the oldest one too, so that's okay. Probably what he sounded like. So naturally, he felt a little bonkers. He wanted to tell some people about what happened, so he rushed home. Told his family, but when Robert and his family returned to check out the area, there was nothing there.
Papa, where's your house? Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert, Robert's grandson, James Cabold, would eventually have an encounter with this house too, though.
Oh shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, so let's talk about James Cabold's experience.
Okay, so this is his grandson.
Yeah, so this is 1912. So this is 52 years later. For those of you that can do math.
I can't. I had no idea.
So here's a quote from James Cabold from his own experience. Quote, next door to my grandmother lived the old butcher, Mr. George Waylett. I used to go out with him on his Saturday delivery around through Ruffham and Bradfields. My job was to look after the pony. We just left one of his calls in Kingshaw Street and were moving along nicely towards Bradfield Street when whoosh. There was a loud swishing noise as an air of displacement. It became very, very cold. Again, this is June, and the pony reared back and it whinnied, and Mr. Waylett shot clean over the back of the cart. I very nearly went with him, but I did manage to hang on. The pony bolted, but in those fleeting moments, I most distinctly saw a double-fronted red brick house, three-storied, of pronounced Georgian appearance. But it was those flower beds, a central oblong one flanked on either side by a circular one and smaller oblong ones in front of those three, making six in all, and all of them were in full bloom. All this I can most distinctly recall. Furthermore, it tallied to a T with what my grandfather had seen, even to the edging bricks. Having managed to stop the pony, I turned it round, for I feared for Mr. Waylett. Even as I did so, a kind of mist seemed to envelop the house, which I could still see, and the whole thing simply disappeared. It just went. Fortunately, Mr. Waylett was not hurt much, but much scared, and so was I, and also that pony, which stood there with bulging eyes and would not go near that spot. That effing house again! Said George, that's about the third time I've seen that happen. But poor George had been the target for so much ridicule, He wouldn't talk about it for the simple reason nobody in the village would believe him. Unquote.
The horse is like, it's f***ed up, man.
Horse is like, I ain't driving over that shit.
That's crazy. That's a crazy story.
Yeah. Yeah. So you might be like, wow, maybe it's just a family thing. Nope. Because we move on to 1926.
Well, I wouldn't say that, though, because George saw it, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the horse. And I don't think he was related to the horse.
So Ruth who? Ruth now?
Moving on to Ruth.
Oh, just Ruth, like Madonna? That's her old name?
No, it's Ruth Wynn.
Ruth Wynn?
Wynn. W-Y-N-N-E.
Ruth who?
Are you going to Facebook her later?
Ruth why? That's a dumb joke.
So it's 1926. It's October. And a young school teacher by the name of Ruth Wynn and her 10-year-old student, Ruth Allison.
Okay.
Ruth
Squared.
Is that popular?
Ruth Squared.
Maybe name back then.
Yeah.
They were out enjoying a nice stroll around the countryside. During their leisurely stroll, they happened to pass the church at Bradfield St. George, which we saw on Google Maps.
Mm.
Ruth liked to take these walks to familiarize herself with the area as she had just recently moved there. However, despite being new to the area and the unknown surroundings, she could immediately tell that something felt out of place regarding this strange house that she stumbled upon. It hadn't been there during her last walk, had it? Here's a quote and a very detailed description of the house from Ruth. Quote, "We walked off through the fields to look at the church of the neighboring village, Bradfield St. George. In order to reach the church, which we could see plainly ahead of us to the right, we had to pass through a farmyard whence we came out on a road. Exactly opposite us, the further side of the road and flanking it, we saw a high wall of greenish-yellow bricks. The road ran past us for a few yards, then curved away from us to the left. We walked along the road, following the brick wall around the bend, where we came upon a tall, wrought iron gate set against the wall. I think the gates were shut, or one side may have been open. The wall continued on from the gates and disappeared around the curve of the road. Behind the wall and towering above it was a cluster of trees. From the gates, a drive led way among these trees to this evidently large house. We could see just a corner of the roof, and I remember noticing some windows of Georgian design. The rest of the house was hidden by the branches of the trees. We stood by the gates for a moment, speculating as to who lived in this large house, and I was rather surprised that I had not already heard of the owner amongst the many people who'd called on my mother since our arrival in the district. The house was one of the nearest large residences to our own, and it seemed odd that the occupants had not called. However, we then turned off the road along a footpath leading away to the right of the church, which was perhaps under 100 yards off. On leaving the church, we cut down through the churchyard into the fields and home, without returning to the road or the farmyard. It was then drizzling rain. On arriving home, we discussed the huge house and its possible occupants with my parents, and then we thought no more of it. My student and I did not take the same walk again until the following spring. It was, as far as I can remember, a very dull afternoon with good visibility in February or March. We walked up through the farmyard as before and out onto the road where suddenly we both stopped dead and gasped. Where's the wall? We wondered simultaneously. It wasn't there. The road was flanked by nothing but a ditch, and beyond the ditch lay a wilderness of tumbled earth, weeds, mounds, all overgrown with those trees which we had seen on our first visit. We followed the road on around the bend, but there were no gates, no drive, no corner of a house to be seen. We were both very puzzled. At first, we thought that our house and wall had been pulled down since our last visit, but closer inspection showed a pond and other small pools amongst the mounds where the house had been visible. It was obvious that nothing had been there for a very long time. Unquote. And when Ruth asked the villages, all the people, not that, you know, she didn't speak to the villages, the people in the villages, no one knew what she was talking about, and they insisted that a house, like they described, had never existed.
I want to know how in the hell everybody was so up to date on their architecture.
Everybody's, I think it's like, you know what, we're, you're walking around now, right? And
yeah.
You got your phone out. You're on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You're on TikTok. You're on Tinder. Some of y'all are on Tinder. you're on YouTube. maybe you're not on YouTube, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not, I feel like people, me included, I think most people don't pay as much of attention to their surroundings now as maybe they used to.
Okay. But still, even if I did pay attention, would I know the names of the architecture? The last two dudes knew it too. They all knew the architecture terms.
Listen, I had this in the discussion, as not as like anything to sway one way or the other, but I don't notice things like that. And that was, everybody seems to be taken back by this strange house. And I would literally walk past it and be like, oh, look, a house. Maybe I wouldn't even think that. I would just keep walking. I guess if it was like, the way it's displayed is like, it's empty countryside and then there's this huge house.
And then it shows up.
So I would acknowledge it. I would be like, wow, there's this huge house that's beautiful in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I would acknowledge that. But at the same time, like, if there was a house that glitched into the universe on my street here, like where I take walks, I'd probably be like, huh, I don't remember that. Okay. Or I don't know how much thought I would put into it.
I agree with that. But also, I have a question. It seems that people are, like, almost struck with, like, a desire to look at it.
See, that's the one caveat, I would say, where it's, like, for me, in just everyday life, if I saw a house and I'm like, oh, I don't remember that being there, I guess I must have not noticed. Mm-hmm. Versus these people, there's like a sense that comes with this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, whoa. It's
more than just acknowledging a physical building.
Yeah.
There's a feeling.
It does. It almost feels like, that it comes down to the question, like, how scary is a house? But, like, it feels like there's more to it than that.
There's,
and maybe I'm reaching.
Well, we get to one where there's definitely more. But it's like this, there's the whooshing, there's the chills, there's the desire to look. It seems to really plant itself in people's memories.
Yeah.
But even so, I'm talking about like in this story with Ruth, going on a walk, seeing a place, coming back and it's gone. That, like, for me, it'd be banking on the idea, the fact that I noticed it the first time in depth, and I wouldn't have. Like, I do not pay attention to things as much as people. That's just me personally. But the thing is, for Ruth's experience, she's, like, very dramatically acknowledged the house.
Yeah.
And then to come back a year later and to make it, not only is it not there, but to see signs that it never was there.
Yeah.
That's trippy. Like, ponds and, like, there's, like, completely just, you would look at it and be like, oh, yeah, no house has ever been there. Like, no
ruins or anything.
It's very peculiar. So now let's move to the 1940s. So in the 1940s, a man named Edward Bentley was working on that grind as a men's outfitter, along with Aubin Davies. I like this name.
It's Aubin Davies. Name.
Yeah. And they were on their way to deliver some catalogs to the surrounding areas, because there was no internet back then. Mm-hmm. There was no Prime Day.
Right now.
There is right now, but not in the 40s. You had to get the catalog. You had to look through it, and then you had to order it by phone. You had to talk to another human being.
In the 40s?
In the 40s.
Hey, at least they didn't have to, like, send a letter.
That's true.
That'd be terrible.
I would very much like to order the men's blazer size medium,
can
42.
Can I please have the Popkin Funk of Winston Churchill? Oh, this is the 40s. That's even later.
19 weeks later, a pony comes. Hi, sir. You order a 42-inch blazer. I've put on a little weight since then.
Can you load it up?
I guess I'll just put it in the closet next to the other clothes I can't fit in. But yeah, so they're a men's outfitter delivering catalogs, Edward Bentley and Aubin Davies, letting people know they got the new Balenciaga kicks and Louis Vuitton pouches. As the two were driving past Colville's Grove, which, let me say this, Colville's Grove is like this grassy area that's between Ruffham and Bradley Street, George. So this is like, this is the grassy area where people see the house. It's called Colville's Grove.
Okay.
But it's just, it's not big. It's like just like, it's
a little area.
It's a grassy area.
Gotcha. Is it still grassy right now? Do you know?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. If you go on Google Maps, you can put in Colville's Grove. They're going past this area and they notice this elaborate red brick Georgian style house set back from the road.
Of course they do.
Yes. Neither of them remembered ever seeing this red brick house before, but, you know, they're judging the appearance and the extravagance of this home and garden, and their eyes probably got like the cartoon money signs.
Like, you guys want a catalog?
Yeah. So they're like, surely the homeowners must only wear the finest of men's fashion. So they start heading towards this house, but to their surprise, this house is quickly engulfed in this mist, and it covers the house, and then the mist starts dissipating, but then the house starts disappearing until just absolute nothing.
Guess they didn't want Yeezys.
They didn't want the new Sand Runners.
So it's weirdly consistent.
It is. The mist part is creepy too, because it's not like the mist is something I definitely want to touch on when we start breaking down theories, because it seems like an extra component. Like, it's not like, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we can wait on it.
Like, let me just say this now. So, like, this we got an air conditioner thing up here now. Shout out Steph's dad. We got this. It's like, if this wasn't of this time period, and it wasn't meant to be here, and, like, I'm holding it, and then 2 minutes later, it's not in my hand. Mm-hmm. Like, have you seen the picture of, like, the traveling guy and, like, that black and white photo? There's, like, a really old black and white photo, and then there's, like, a guy on a cell phone.
In normal clothing, I have seen that.
Right? But then, like, it's one thing if he's not supposed to be there, and then poof, he's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The mist seems like an additional qualifier that I don't know why it's there. Like, if this disappeared, you'd be like, that was, like, a time slip.
Yeah.
And it's not, wasn't meant to be here. But then you add mist. Like, where does mist come into this? That's something to think about, and I want to bring back up later.
Okay.
Because it seems like a separate entity. It seems like it doesn't need to be there.
Okay.
It's almost like a transition. Like, yeah. Like, you know, when you're watching a video and there's like a clip, it clips to a different scene, but then there's like a fuzzy blur effect. It's like, dude, you didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. So that's their story. They were confused. And they started asking locals again, what about this house? And everyone's like, there's no house there. Duh. Go on Google Maps. 1940s. But I will take that catalog. At this point, everyone keeps, what would you think if, like, this town, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, almost becoming, like, a common, like, hey, where's your local coffee shop? Is there any good restaurants around here? Where's that vanishing house at, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, it's down over there. So, Colgrave's. Or,
Colville's
Grove.
Put a sign on the street that says, there is no house.
There is no house. Put a huge sign. Like, I don't know what you're looking for, but there's a no house here.
That'd be actually really creepy. If you walk past there's no house, and you see a sign that says, there is no house. Be very scary, actually.
Somebody should build a house, but make the entire front part of the house a mirror, so it just reflects, and so it doesn't look like there's anything there.
That's in a movie or something.
I don't know.
Like, the whole house is a mirror.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be funny if the front of it, though, just to trip you out.
Yeah.
Like, you catch it at the right angle.
That would set a fire. The sun hits it right. It would set a fire, bro.
Just like a laser beam. Just that pony's like, all right, I'm going to try a Walmart. Dunzo. So the next sighting is 1976. Ruffham local, Sandra Hardwick. These are all excellent names.
Very good.
What was the last one?
Oh,
Aubin.
Oh, Aubin.
You think it's Aubin?
No, it's Aubin.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Come on, Aub. Let's go.
Aubin Davies. But that's the 40s. We're talking about the 70s now. Still need a catalog. Don't get that internet yet. In 1976, Ruffham local Sandra Hardwick decided to ride her bicycle out and about around dusk after meeting up with some friends.
Smoking a whole pack of cigarettes as she goes.
One between every finger. She could ride her bicycle with no handlebars. But her lungs can't take one breath of fresh air. As she was riding along, she noticed that it became unusually quiet. Here's a new qualifier. Like, sound had escaped the world. There were no more birds. There were no more cars. There were no more crickets. Nothing. It was just, like, dead silence. In this day and age, it'd be like if your AirPods died, right? Mm-hmm. Just muffled and just stuff like, stuck in your ears. I've had an AirPods die before. It's rough. So along with the silence, this rush of rigid cold air came in, despite the fact that she was riding her bike on a warm summer evening. At that moment, a large red brick mansion seemed to appear out of nowhere at the side of the road, which was brightly illuminated, quote, like the sun had come out on a bright summer's day. So here in this, now we're going to go into Sandra's words. I like there's all these long quotes. We're getting it right from the pony's mouth. Quote, the windows were very small, but open with the curtains blowing, and it was a happy, carefree, friendly-looking house. It had a thatched roof. It was like a perfect country cottage that everyone wants to live in. But there was no one there. I thought I was going crazy. It was beautiful. Thatched roof, windows open, and a garden with yellow and pink flowers, a fence, and a gate. The curtains were blowing out the open windows. Unquote. So despite being taken aback by this beauty and charm of the house, something still felt so incredibly off. And beyond that, she was getting this feeling that she did not expect. Dread, which we haven't touched on yet.
Mm-mm.
So she not only felt uneasy, like the cold air, the silence, which is a new thing. So she got silence, and now she's feeling dread, which that's mm-hmm, creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So she hopped back on her bicycle, and she rode away as quickly as she could. At a later time during the day, she returned to view the perfect country cottage again and was surprised to see that there was no trace of the house at all.
Interesting. Interesting.
So let's move on to the 1980s.
Do you know what a thatch roof is, by the way?
No idea, do you?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
It's made of straw.
It's a straw roof?
Mm-hmm.
Got a brick house and a straw roof?
That's very strange to me.
Don't like that. Well, you had to allocate your money somewhere. You wanted that big kitchen. Enjoy it when it starts raining.
No, it's a very nice thing. It's obviously, we don't do it here, but a lot of houses in England still have it.
I have a straw roof, but I got four islands in my kitchen.
No, so, they're very expensive to maintain.
Doesn't sound fun.
To maintain it?
To have it, yeah.
Oh, no, they're good, but like, you gotta pay money.
So it's 1980s. We don't know the exact date. And this is just a letter. A letter to the Free Press from a lady named Jillian Cooper is quoted as saying, 25 years ago, my husband and I were passing through very slowly due to masses of traffic going toward the Mildenhall roundabout when, to our surprise, on the left in the vicinity opposite the high column, we saw a massive Georgian mansion complete with pillars and open iron gates. Driveway ended up with a circle effect and high steps going up towards the house on either side. A fantastic sight, 200 yards from the road. That's all one sentence.
It's kind of a run-on.
Come on, there's some periods in there. I remarked to my husband, we've never seen that before on this road, and guess what? We've never seen it since. And we've driven that road many times over the years. Well, we both saw it. Unquote.
Okay.
They're like, cool.
Okay. But they printed it, though, didn't they?
Yeah, I guess they had it. So that leads us to the newest and the most recent sighting, which took place in 2007.
That's very interesting to me.
That is 2007?
Mm-hmm, that's in the 2000s.
That is, what is that album? What's the Data Remember album that has the Platinum on the Panhandle? It's Heart something.
For Those Who Have Heart.
Yeah, that's the year that came out, I believe. So it's February 2007, and Jean and her husband, Sydney, a retired couple living near Ruffham in Great Barton. I feel like that's a great, it probably really is Great Barton, but really funny if that's a Great Britain type. In Great Barton, decided to go for a drive around some of the local towns and villages for some sightseeing. As they drove around this picturesque countryside, they spotted a large red brick Georgian house out over a field. They didn't have a great view of it, but it stood out to them, so they made a note to catch it on the way back for a better look. However, on their way home, it had vanished. Here's what Jean had to say about the experience. Quote, we were having a Sunday afternoon drive, coming into Ruffham and going along Kingshill Street, never been that way before, and up to the last bungalow. Looking across the newly harrowed field, I saw a large house on its own very, very plainly. I said to my husband, look at that lovely house. I'll take a look at it on the way back. But coming back later, the house was gone. And I asked if we were on the same road, and he said, yeah. So I remarked, how odd, as I knew very plainly that there was a large house standing on its own quite near across the field with trees behind it. I know I saw this house. I can see it now. I could sketch it if I needed to. It was a lovely, big Georgian house with a whole row of long windows and trees at the back of it. I've talked to other people and have heard of it, and people in Ruffham have heard of the tale. I would just love to get to the bottom of it. Unquote. And then she called her friend, and Jean admitted that she had seen something very strange, and she didn't know what to do or how to really feel about it. And to her surprise, her friend said, oh, you haven't seen the ghost house, have you? And Jean had no idea that other people had witnessed this phenomenon or that it was a thing in the area. So then her friend told her that her daughter's boyfriend had also seen it while he was out driving his van.
Man, if someone took a gun, put it to my head, and showed me three pictures of a house and said, pick out the Georgian, I would be most likely dead.
I would just pick, like, a brick one, because I keep hearing it's brick.
It's very, how does everyone know what a Georgian house is? I'm going to have to Google it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably going to be the graphic, by the way. Probably it's a red Georgian house, whatever that is. If you have one, let us know. Send us a picture. Maybe your picture of your Georgian house.
Of your phantom house.
Could be the Bleeding in the Bazaar poster.
And has anyone ever seen a face in the house?
Yeah, like the way the windows and doors are shaped. You mean like something like that, or do you mean like in a window?
Like a face in the window.
No, that's scary.
Like a person in the house?
I'm in some Facebook groups, I've seen stuff like that. I've never personally, thank God. If I have, I didn't register it. But it's like going back and looking at your photos. When did I ask you this? I asked you this sometime.
You did.
Was it on our Twitch?
Was that recently?
I think it was on our Twitch.
I don't remember. Or I asked
you if you would, you know, what would you do if you went back to like your last house?
Oh, yeah.
And you were looking through a photo and you zoom in. Like, I feel like.
Oh, I said I'd delete it. And you're like, what?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd be the person that, like, I have proof, but then I went bye-bye.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get into some investigations and some ideas and some theories. Listen, guys, I know it's been a minute since I've talked about trying to get to 8% body fat, but that deadline is coming up.
I've been hitting the gym, too, and trying to get in better shape as well.
And that is why we've both been trying AG1 Athletic Greens.
I started taking AG1 because with my other, quote, protein powders, I wasn't seeing results.
Exactly. But with a single scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high-quality minerals, vitamins, whole food source superfoods, and probiotics.
Well, that's fine, but let's talk about the real selling point. It actually tastes good and isn't all grating like some of the other protein powders.
My suggestion? Just add it to your routine, right? Like, you wake up, start listening to that new Believing the Bizarre episode while you're making your AG1, and before we even start diving into the topic, you've consumed a shake that has less than 1 gram of sugar, supports mental clarity and alertness without any nasty chemicals.
So essentially, it's like a life hack. And don't just take our word for it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And on top of all that, for every purchase, Athletic Greens donates to organizations that help get nutritious food to kids in need, like No Kid Hungry.
Skip the supplements and the dozens of various pills. You can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with daily nutrition. All it takes is just one scoop of AG1 and a cup of water every day. That's it.
Still on the fence? To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
That's right. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging.
Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, so now let's get to some of the investigations, some of the theories, that fun stuff. Those are all the encounters. Up front this time, but that's the main episode. Sometimes the main episode is all encounters. Nothing wrong with that.
I wouldn't else to say about this, though. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's... Yes, I would agree. It's tough, because sometimes I get in a groove, and I try and, like, I have, like, certain facets of an episode, the way I structure it, and yeah. I try and fit everything in there.
I do the same thing.
And it just, you know, can't, and that's okay. That's okay. So, this is your... I'm going to say this, and you're going to be like, okay. But it was in my article, and it's by... It's a paranormal researcher, Carl Grove. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have heard of him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then at least there's some meaning to you. Because they kind of say, like, you're not going to gain anything from this quote, and there's really no reason for me to even preface it. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
So he said, in all, there have been at least 20 reports and sightings of this house since 1860. In my view, the number of sightings that have gone unreported in the same period is probably far greater. Almost everybody from Ruffham knows someone who's seen the house, but the details are usually lacking. And visitors or people driving through may well have seen it, but thought nothing out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Unquote.
That makes sense.
It's like
though.
A summary. Yeah, because if you're driving through, you just see it. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. a house.
Or even the people that don't report it. Like, you live there, it's a thing. The house is there sometimes.
I would love to try. I wonder if anybody's really tried. There's probably YouTube videos. I wonder if anybody's tried to catch it on camera.
I wonder if the house knows.
In this day, maybe, because in this day and age, I feel like it would get caught. So I did watch a 40-second YouTube video where it's like, I think I caught the Ruffham house. And it was like the, it was, and it was like 10 years ago. So not that that's like super dated.
Spoilers. Did he not?
It's super, it's like, so like Photoshop, put a fake house in. It's like a found footage. You see a dog it's a walking
CGI house.
And then you look up and it's just like an, like you look up and there's nothing there. And then they look down and they look up again. And it's just like a house that you could see was just like, copy and paste in there. I give him, you know,
like a sunny background.
Yeah. I give him props for trying though. Another article I saw, which I tried to find this one. I like, if anybody knows of this or if anybody wants to look into it further, there is, I saw an article, one that I was reading, that said that paranormal researchers and investigators say that bricks were found at the locations of the sightings. I was not able to cross check this, but essentially it's the house where the house is not at, but where it's supposed to be. A paranormal team, paranormal research team investigated, and they didn't find the house, but they found bricks.
Mm.
Like, not all of it transitioned or disappeared away. Also, I just want to say this now, because I'm about to shout out another source, but much of what I've talked about today came from either Live Suffolk or Live Suffolk, depending on how you want that word to be pronounced, okay, and Mysterious Universe. Mm. So shout out those sources. That's where a lot of this came from.
I love Mysterious Universe.
Me too. So this next source is academia.edu, which sounds redundant.
Sounds like education.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like academic education college.edu.
Get your degree, please.com.
Please. You know what's sad is just like when you're young, and this is a little bit of a soapbox rant, I apologize. When you're young and they're like, you can do whatever you want, and then you try to do that, and there's like, the colleges are like, let's just make degrees for whatever kids want to do. And it's funny because somebody, like, I saw like a tweet or something where someone's like, I got a degree in this. And I didn't realize at the time, but the only thing you can do with the degree is teach it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's
philosophy.
They're like, it literally is like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can make money is by getting more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
But could you imagine?
I've heard it's that like, too before.
Like, you get a job, you get a degree.
Yeah.
And then the only way you can make money is to get a job teaching what you learn to other people who are only going to get that degree to then eventually teach other people.
Yep.
There's like, you know,
yeah,
application. Well, that doesn't mean it doesn't enrich your life.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that doesn't help you learn. And
still a little MLM-y.
Oh, sorry.
There is a degree, I think in a college in North Carolina, about folklore. And I'm like, I kind of want it.
They're like, what can you do with this degree? It's like, well, you can start a podcast.
I'm
going to
podcast the shit out of that degree.
Or you can YouTube. Those are your options.
Part of the degree requirements are editing and RSS feeds.
Yes. So from academia.edu, this is kind of, it was actually a very good in-depth research article. It could have been a thesis. I'm not sure if it was or not. But here, I pulled this quote from that article. Quote, in 2013, I visited Colville's Grove myself, which is that grassy area where the house is supposed to be, for a preliminary reconnaissance. Word of the day. Most of us have been in the woodlands from time to time, but the grove is something different. It's overgrown with every type of nettle, bramble, and thorn. Just moving around is a major undertaking. In the southern part where I entered, the earth forms numerous mounds and ditches, very much like the buried ruins of a large building. Heading north from the central part is a distinct avenue of trees. The south avenue contains few newer trees in what would have been the, quote, driveway, but there could be no doubt about their significance. Nobody would consider planting two substantial avenues of trees leading just to a piece of woodland. There must at one time have been a large building at that location. Perhaps not a stately home, but certainly a mansion of some kind. Note that the trees do seem to be about 200 years old, consistent with our deductions from available mapping. This evidence is convincing, but there's no doubt this is where Ruth saw the Georgian house. Firstly, at the Colville Grove location, there's a 200-yard field between the track near Oak Farm and the grove. When they return to the location a few months later, they say only that they saw the same trees but no house. So he's speaking specifically to Ruth's, where he's saying, like, this was actually a really good article. I just showed Charlie. I'm gonna actually link to this article, and
for sure,
if you're super interested in this, I would recommend checking out the article.
It's interesting.
It has so many photos of like this is a map of the area. This mm-hmm. is where it's supposed to be. Like a picture, like side-by-side pictures, this X marks where people are supposed are claiming to see it. And I think it's not biased. He's not trying to make you think it's real, and he's not trying to make you think it's not real. I think it's just presenting both sides. It, oh my God.
What?
I didn't even realize. This is funny. It's from Karl Grove.
Oh, this is Karl Grove. That makes sense.
That, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It, you know, this is, so, you know, I apologize for all the prefacing I did earlier. Like, this is excellent work by Karl Grove. So I'll link to this on, like, our Facebook group, and I'll post some pictures potentially on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really good work. So now it's explanation time. Or I guess I should say theory. It's not really an explanation.
Okay.
So all I right. have three theories. One of them is in-depth, and I'll save that one for last. The other two are more just like, I'm just throwing them out
there.
A little
surface level, little scratch on the surface. Yeah.
So the first idea is, what if this is like interdimensional, right? So it might seem similar to something I'm talking about later, but I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about dimension. So the same time period, like a parallel time.
Sure.
Like
and that makes sense to me. It does. I was listening to one of our episodes, and you said, when we don't know what the hell we're talking about, we say interdimensional.
That's true. Aliens and interdimensional. So yeah. you won't be shocked to see what my next one is. But I think interdimensional, it's like, could this little grassy area be a portal to another dimension?
Okay.
Where, and in that dimension, it's not like things are super crazy, you know, it's same materials on that planet, on that Earth and everything. It's just there's a house there instead of it being just trees and or ponds or anything like that. And every now and then, I don't know why, but these dimensions or these, you know, these universes get a little close and that house comes in. Now, my argument against this idea, which I want to talk about in the discussion, is the fog or the mist. Like okay. that. I don't know why. Like, for some reason, if you told me that there's two dimensions and the house is slipping between them, I'm like, oh, yeah, Gucci. That's all good. I get it. But then you start adding mist. It's like, well, where's the mist coming from? Is the mist coming from their dimension? Is it our dimension reacting to the merging of the dimensions? It feels like spooky, right? It feels like you got a director doing a scary movie. Like, no, get the fog
machine. Mist.
Get together. And, you know, it feels dramatic.
Yeah, I was driving through the Cuyahoga Valley today, and there was a butt ton of mist. It was very scary.
I love when you get a lot of mist. It just feels like you're in Silent Hill.
It's the house is preparing the D&D spell Misty Step, where it can move within 30 feet of where it sees.
Yes.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
What do you have to roll to get rid of the mist?
That just happens.
You can't roll out of it?
No. It's good. It's a good thing.
Oh, yay.
And you get to teleport.
Good. Fast track?
It just teleportation.
What is it in video games? Fast travel. Fast travel. So my second theory is aliens. And this is why. Now, I don't really believe this. I just call back and actually, Charlie, play the clip.
I have a little side quest. Can you bear with me?
Yeah.
All right. So I think that this truck was not actually what they saw. Now maybe it was, but I have a hunch and how the events unfold. This was actually like a psychic cover for some kind of like it's like some kind of guise that maybe it was not actually a truck. Maybe it was a piece of the UFO. That was like psychically like veiled, and the only place they could work on it was this like middle of nowhere road.
Okay, so they put on like some type of like holographic projection or whatever you want to call it to disguise it and make it look like a truck.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
All right, you just heard it. What were we talking about? We are saying that it is a holographic disguise. Like, they are covering up this house.
Oh, from episode 1?
Episode 1. We're talking about the truck having that guise. Now the difference is that it was making it something else.
Uh-huh.
Like, we were saying the spaceship was, you know, it was...
Covered as a truck.
Yeah. Where, in this instance, it's actually blanketing it like Harry Potter.
I see.
Okay. Harry Potter.
Oh, but is that the ship then?
I don't know what it is. It's like something that's not supposed to be there.
Ooh, that's scary.
That could also be not alien, I guess. It could just be
No. Don't shy away from the aliens. That makes sense. Alien, I like that.
Alien and government go hand in hand.
Man,
someone is covering up this house. and it just keeps slipping. It's like
if the house is actually a ship?
No.
But it's using this guise of house.
Yes. It's that rare Georgian UFO.
From the galaxy of Georgia. On the planet Atlanta.
The planet Atlanta. Their planet slogan is COVID doesn't live here.
Go Hawks. All right.
Maybe.
But no, I like that idea though. I like that idea. It's a ship landing, maybe.
The only issue is people walk through it and they examine it, and like the researchers found the bricks and stuff. So it's like
it could be any brick. That could be brick from anywhere.
But wouldn't they run into the ship then, or is it just not obey our laws?
There's actually just bricks in the field.
Maybe it gets really cold in there, so they use it like a solar cover, like a pool. And then sometimes it gets windy because that cool breeze comes and it blows the solar cover off their ship. And then they're like, oh shit, well at least these beautiful flowers can be.
I think we're losing the stream of consciousness a little bit.
Okay, so let's say this is aliens.
Okay.
What does that have to... And well, you know, I save this thought for the discussion.
Okay.
Because I think at face value, you can make it fit a lot of these theories.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, where does the dread and the cool breeze and the whooshing and the mist... Like, these are all very specific sensations and things that occur with this house.
That's
true. I want to save that for the discussion. Because the final theory that I have, and the one that's the most intricate, and it's attached... Like, the other two I just kind of pulled out of nowhere. This one is attached to the Ruffham Mirage, as
Ruffham.
It's called. Which I haven't said since the beginning, because it's a house. Time slips. The definition of a time slip is a spontaneous brief journey into the past, or, parentheses, rarely, the future.
Okay.
And there's four different types of time slips. Yeah.
Even though it's theoretical?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The first is a purely visual, hazy, or blurred impression of a past play structure or event.
Okay.
The type two is a sharp, totally realistic image of something from the past. Witnesses can see it and be unaware that it's anything other than ordinary perception. So first one is blurry, but you see it.
Uh-huh.
Second one is super crystal, and you might not realize you're seeing what you're seeing because it's like that fan, this table, you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just there. So it doesn't seem odd because it's so clear. Type three, the witness enters a past environment and is able to move within it, but cannot make physical contact with it. People in the environment seem unaware of your presence. So again, first one is it's blurry. You can't really make it out. Second one is crystal clear. It might not seem obvious, but you can see it. Third one is you can actually enter the past environment, but you can't interact with it, and people don't acknowledge you. And type four is the witness can physically enter the past, can touch, pick up, carry objects from the environment, and people in the past or future rarely can interact with you and conversate with you.
Okay. Has anyone ever reported to experience those type of time slips?
Funny story. I got three stories for you.
All right.
That involve time slips. Now, this might seem a little off the beaten path because these are not related to the house. We are talking about...
But
time slips.
Yeah, we're building evidence for the time slip.
Yeah, so this is back to Academia EDU. These are some examples of time slips that report in that. By your paranormal researcher friend.
Carl Gross.
Probably a ufologist, right? No?
Gross?
Has he written a book?
I think he's Gross.
I think that article he just wrote earned him the right to be a ufologist.
I think he is a ufologist.
Story one. A young lady about to eat her lunch on a bench opposite Waterstones on Bold Street noticed that the ambient light level had suddenly dropped. The area quickly seemed less busy than normal for the first time of the day. A smartly dressed man, already on the bench, started to chat to her casually. She noticed that he was dressed in clothes more typical of the 1950s. As he asked her a question, she leaned forward to throw her sandwich wrapper in a rubbish bin, replying at the same time. When she sat up, he had disappeared. The sun was again bright and the area was crowded. So, since she was able to talk to him, I would actually say it was the fourth.
Four, yeah.
Story number two, with Mrs. S. Mrs. S, taking her four-year-old daughter in her pushchair for a walk, noticed that she was walking on cobblestones. Outside a cottage on her right side was an old man smoking a pipe. They nodded to each other as she went back by more old cottages. At the end of the lane, a little girl wearing old-fashioned clothing gave her an odd look and ran into a cottage. Beyond the gate was a meadow, so Mrs. S. turned around, passing all the cottages and again exchanging nods with the old chap. 2 months later, Mrs. S. returned to show her mother the picturesque area, but the cobbles had gone. The old man's cottage was different. The other cottages had disappeared, and the meadow was in a state of bungalows. 8 years later, involved in a dispute over a footpath, Mrs. S. consulted an 1830 map and found on it all of the old buildings that she had seen. A pile of rubble that she had also seen was found to be the remains of Thingwood Mill, which had been destroyed in a hurricane. So she went to the past,
yeah,
hurt. Went back, it was different, and then found a map that displayed everything she had seen physically.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, story three. In 2006, a petty thief named Sean was chased down Hanover Street by a security guard. He made the mistake of running into Brooks Alley, which was a dead end. Sean felt a sensation of tightness in his chest as he waited for the guard to enter the alley. But the guard did not appear, and Sean ventured back into Hanover Street. But things had changed. Clothing styles, background details, and cars were all old-fashioned. Sean couldn't get a signal for his mobile phone. He realized that he was in a past time, and he began to panic. He ran back to the alley, then walked to a news kiosk near Central Station and looked at the front page of the Daily Post. It was dated May 18th, 1967. He hurried up the road, and suddenly, his mobile regained a signal. He was back in familiar surroundings, but at the other end of Rinaldi Street, the people were still in 1967. So that one, he was very, very aware.
Yeah, it wasn't an afterthought.
In the moment, he discovered that he was in the past.
Still see it, too.
Yeah, which is, what a rift in time. Like, yeah. That is a time, that's more than a time slip. That's like a time slid. Like,
you just, like, it's a time slip and slide right there.
Like a penguin, just keep sliding.
There's the Nate Bargatze joke about, if he ever went back in time, he wouldn't be able to explain anything. They wouldn't believe he was actually from the future. They're like, well, this is a cell phone. They'd be like, well, how's it work? You're like, I got nothing.
Let me call Steve Jobs real quick. So that is the theories. Those are the stories. Those are the investigations. And Now let's get to the discussion. So before we get to the discussion, it's time that we stop and we talk about our Patreon. And we like to thank our newest patrons who, at the moment of this recording, we would like to thank Tara, Cheyenne, Emma, Ginger, Jonas, Joni, Andrew, Megan, Mike, back-to-back Zoe and Zoe and or Zoe, Luke, Oscar, John, and Desiree.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
Thank you all so much. I hope you enjoy all the bonus content, which is, Charlie, can you give us a little reminder what type of bonus content you and all of them can expect when you join our Patreon?
Absolutely. There's a quiz, maybe one of my favorite things that we do, that goes along with this episode. And if you heard the episode, you should definitely go back and listen to see how I did. It's pretty fun to play the quizzes before the episodes come out. You can also expect to hear Do You Believe the Bizarre, where producer Ben writes stories and we have to pick which one is believable and which ones are not. We also have Director's Cuts, where Tyler and I talk over ourselves, which I think is more legible than it sounds. But we talk about what we're feeling, what we thought about the episode, things that happened in the past, things that were more relevant, things we found out, and we re-rank those episodes.
We do Google Hangouts, where you can literally chill with us for an hour over Google Meet. We watch movies together. We have interviews. Also, we don't talk about this a ton. You also can get our ringtones. So our intro music and our outro music, you can save as your own ringtones. Also, we have cool wallpapers. And if you're part of our dedicated tier for a couple of months, you get a bonus t-shirt that you cannot buy. You can only get it by being a member for a few months, and we send it to you free. So if you're caught up on the podcast, you want a little bit more bonus content, there is a avalanche of bonus content waiting for you in our Patreon. So go check that out. But now it's time to get back to the discussion. Okay, the Ruffa Mirage, the Vanishing Suffolk House.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know you were attached to the alien idea.
I like that.
And you said maybe this is from the future.
Yeah.
So why do you think that this could be the future, which is apparently parentheses rare versus the past?
So I have an idea why I think it's the future. Okay. So I think it's the future because no one talked about a house that used to be there that was torn down, a house that was built in, you know, the past, the far past. No one's ever mentioned that. It seems like it's an unclaimed area. It doesn't seem like it belongs to anybody. So I feel like perhaps this area will one day become somewhat more incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense that someone will build a house on this land.
No, I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. If you're in the time slip mode, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're believing it to be interdimensional, then it could be from the past. Mm-hmm. But if it's time slip, that would make sense.
Because like no one mentioned like, oh, there used to be a mansion there.
Yeah. Not to the knowledge of the people that
at least I was in the reporting. 1860s.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know how big of houses they could have really built. I guess they built castles. But that's
pyramids.
Well, okay. I'm defeating my own purpose at this point.
It's easy to do the longer you talk.
Yeah.
Not just you, but you know, any theory. So I know the aliens thing is fun and we're good at making things about aliens, but do you think, like, do you like the idea or do you think it's believable that it could be aliens?
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I just like it.
I know. That's okay.
It's a cool idea.
So here's what stands out to me. So let's say it is time slips, just because that seems to be the theory that most people attach to it. And I like the idea of it. I don't think it's, mm-hmm. like, the idea is far-fetched, but if you buy into it, it's the least far-fetched. All of the things that accompany it, like the dread,
mm-hmm.
the whooshing,
yeah,
the mist,
mm-hmm. the chills,
like, are these normal occurrences that happen with time slips? Or, like, especially dread, like, dread, like that's, and that could just
that
be
is
her,
weird.
That could be her personal response because it freaked her out. Like she's the only one that
mentioned although, it,
but
yeah.
The horse. I mean, the horse and the well, people
that's
were
a
freaked
horse,
out.
A horse, though,
that they're more in tune with the world than we are.
I mean, a horse sees a rubber snake and freaks out, though.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is she's had the most violent dread reaction other than the horse,
mm-hmm.
but other people did feel like shock.
That's true.
But even like cold temperature, which is there's many. Ideas of that in, you know, paranormal
mm-hmm.
world
mm-hmm.
and the mist is what gets me because
this is weird.
I feel like if it's just something slipping in and out of time, it doesn't need the mist. Mist is like cueing the dream sequence in the film, you know, mist
yeah.
or, you know, something spooky is about to happen. It feels so unnecessary and so theatrical, but still it's like, unless
so why do you think the mist is there?
Unless it's not really mist and that's just the way our brain interprets what it's seeing.
What do you think it is then?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have
okay.
no idea. It could just be the way, like if there was a fifth dimension
mm-hmm.
and somebody tried to explain it to you, but they were using senses that we didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's like that, where it's like the way that house shifts between time, it gets muddled and blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And to our brain, the way that we interpret it, it looks like mist, but that's not really what it's not mist the way that we experience.
So
mist.
It's not mist, but it is because it's all we can come up with.
Yeah.
I get that. That makes sense.
I'm not saying that's what it is. It just seems unnecessary unless the other time, well, because it's time, it's not dimension. Other dimension could be a misty ass dimension,
that's
but
true.
If it's just time, I don't know. It seems too theatrical to me. Like, I feel like, but then seeing a house vanish, is it like when you see something go see-through? Or is it just like, you know, gone?
I don't know. I've never experienced
The way they describe it with the mist, it seems like it's a gradual, like you're
yeah,
taking a cursor.
It like fades away.
And yeah, fading. Yeah, that's
yeah. Right. You're bringing down the opacity.
The opacity. I like the way you work it.
Opacity.
Come fade it down. I don't know. I think if it's not one of these theories, I don't do. So these are theories I came up with. Is
yeah.
there anything outside of what I presented that you think could explain this house appearing and vanishing off the cuff?
No. I don't know. It's a ghost house. This house was lost at sea in the 1800s.
It's a doppelganger. There's a house just somewhere else.
I don't know what else it could be. Alternative dimension where a house is there, but like, is that person like, where's my house? And then it comes back. It's like, oh, there's my house.
Yeah, they're just like in the shower. And then like, oh shit, they're on the second floor. They just fall down. And then they land in their living room.
Isn't that a Family Guy bit? Where Cleveland always gets his bathtub blown up.
Yeah.
I like time slips. I like time slips.
So let's roll with that because that's what most people attach to the Rough and Mirage.
Yeah.
So what do you give it on the scale of believable, viable, skeptical, and unbelievable?
Viable. I think it's viable. There's a lot of witnesses. There's a lot of good reporting that goes into it. I think it's viable.
My body and my soul wants to go skeptical.
Yeah.
But I don't have a rational... I don't know what they would be seeing.
What do you mean?
Like,
they're seeing a house. Like, what else could it be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, if we're talking about like a creature, right?
Whoa, it's creatures.
Yeah, if we were talking about a creature and they're like, it's this monster, I would go, you know, if I didn't believe it, I would say, you know, maybe skeptical, I think it was a reindeer or I think it was a moose. You know, like, because that's more, it's probable. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is it's more likely that you're going to see a raccoon than like the Dover Demon.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is a man-made house.
Yeah, and it's appearing and disappearing, and there's multiple witnesses, and it's not like it's across the world. Like, remember the Michigan Dog Man?
Yeah.
Where it's like everywhere but Michigan. You know, this is like the same spot, the same town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like one house in Japan, one house in Finland.
And I don't like the fallback of like, well, they could just be lying. I just don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Call me gullible or, you know, optimistic.
What's the gain in that?
Well,
and everyone in this town, or every other person in this town, has a story.
Yeah. I mean, people like the urban legends. People like, you know, oh, our town is known for this vanishing house. You should go check it out. But you know,
straight up, that's a pretty dumb thing to have an urban legend about.
Ooh. Really? You think so? You think it's dumb? No, I don't.
If it's going to be something, make it cooler. You know? If you're going to fake it, make it cool.
You know how you know that this didn't happen in America? Because they're not, like, milking it for all this money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was in, like, Tennessee.
Tourist trap.
Or something. Oh, yeah. They'd build it. They'd make a see-through, like, a glass house. Like, this is what it, you know. They would make it where it's, like, almost that artistic thing where, like, it shifts.
Yeah.
It's like, now it's invisible. Now it's not. Some artist or something. And that would actually be really cool. And I would go and I'd pay money. And I'd get my picture taken and put it on Instagram. But not in the UK. They're just like, it's just tradition around here. Your friend knows, one of your top eight on MySpace has seen this vanishing house. So going back to the rankings, it feels like something I would internally want to say skeptical, but I don't think they're lying. And I don't know what you could mistake a house for. And it vanishing, I have no idea how you could mistake that. Now, right. Some people just saw it, left, came back, and it wasn't there. And that could be just getting confused with where you are or things like that.
But in front of them.
Multiple people saw it disappear in front of them.
Yeah.
So I don't, like multi-dimension, parallel universe, time slip. I don't know. I'm actually going to go believable and it blows my mind. It blows
my mind. Believable.
I don't know what they could have mistaken it for. Viable for me is normally like I can buy into it, but I'm not sure. And I
feel the same way. I do buy into it. I'm not sure.
I don't love that I'm going believable, but I have no idea what they could mistake it for. If everybody's account was, I saw it, I left, and I came back, and it was gone, I would say maybe it's just a location you're easily mixed up. But the fact that multiple people said it disappeared before their eyes, something strange is happening. Something.
I agree with that.
And we've talked about parallel universes and things like that. This is the first time we really have talked about time slips directly, which I think would actually be a really good episode on its own.
Mm-hmm.
We've said that multiple times. But we plan to be around for a little while, at least.
It's true.
But yeah, and you know what? Maybe when we do the director's cut later on Patreon and I listen back, I'll be like, man, no, I was tired. I was tired.
I mean, that's also true for both of us.
But this is a positive one. We're going to go viable and believable. So that is our episode on the Rough and Mirage, also known as the Vanishing Suffolk House.
Man, you got that name down. Like before, you were struggling with it. Now you just got it. That's good.
If you want to hear me butcher it and call it Ruham,
I like the Ruham.
On Patreon, you can go there and not only just hear me butcher that name, but you can get bonus merch. You can do giveaways every month. We do a giveaway for a dedicated tier.
On Discord.
A lot of bonus content. We're talking quizzes. We're talking fun segments. We're talking news, interviews. We watch movies together. We literally just get on Google face-to-face, webcam-to-webcam, and just chat about whatever you guys want to talk about. Lots of bonus content fills up the full month. You will literally never be bored. You never have to worry about, you know, ending all of, like, our episodes are done. Do I start back at the top? You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Patreon. But if you're enjoying this episode, don't feel like you want to go to Patreon. Totally understand that. Don't worry about it. But it would do us a big solid if you can go on Apple. If you're on Apple, leave us a review and a 5-star and just say, like, oh, man, that's great. That's just great.
I love getting those. They're so much fun.
And if you're listening on Spotify, just feel free to give us a 5-star because that would also be very wonderful.
Two quick reminders. We did just drop the episode series designs, which are merch t-shirts that are specific to episodes we've done in the past. So go check that out. Go to our website, believeinthebizarre.com, and go to shop merch. Maybe your favorite episode has a design. Maybe your favorite episode has a design. Maybe it doesn't. You got to go check it out. And two, just a reminder, we are doing Twitch discussions every single Tuesday. This one might be Charlie only. I might be in Savannah.
Yeah.
I will be in Savannah, but I might be on it. I might not be. But every Tuesday on our Twitch, we will be doing extended discussions on the episode the day it releases at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, early evening, and you're like, I want to tell them about this, or you have a theory, or you're like, oh, I actually know more about this than you guys do, you idiots, or, you know, you said this wrong, or something like that. You know, actually, if you're negative, thanks for listening. But, if, you know, if you had an idea or you have a thought and you want to talk about it with us, we are doing live streams on Twitch Tuesdays, 8 p.m., so go give us a follow on Twitch. Sign up, create an account if you got to, but it's fun and it's interactive and we're really excited to start doing that. So just, there's so much content out there, so much exciting stuff. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.